As Sri Lanka steps up its military offensive to crush the Tamil Tiger separatist rebels, journalists have come to fear for their lives. Concern over press freedom grew after the killing of a leading Sri Lankan journalist, Lasantha Vikramathunga, who was shot in early January by two gunmen driving away on motorcycles. The editor had predicted his own assassination. An unnamed businessman told the Interpress service Vikramathunga was targeted because he was exposing corruption of ministers and bureaucrats. The editor had recently exposed a Sri Lanka government deal to buy MiG fighter jets from Russia. 2 days before Vikramathunga was killed, 15 armed men had attacked the country's largest private television station, MBC Networks. Gunmen had also targeted the home of the founder of the Sri Lanka chapter of Transparency International, who exposes corruption. 3 days after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, African-American resident Donald Harrington was shot without warning. After a second blast, he saw three armed white men shooting at him. Harrington and two friends were attacked in Algiers Point, a predominantly middle-class white enclave surrounded by black neighborhoods. Algiers Point stayed dry during Katrina as nearby levees held. The National Guard designated a nearby ferry landing an official evacuation zone. Fearing scores of refugees from Katrina, the white residents of Algiers Point sealed off the neighborhood, blocking streets with downed trees and lumber. Some residents armed themselves and began patrolling the streets with shotguns on the lookout for thieves, possible looters, and anyone who didn't belong. According to The Nation magazine, 11 black men were shot in the days after Katrina, apparently by white vigilantes. In Harrington's case, nobody filed a police report about the incident until Harrington asked the New Orleans Police Department about it a month later. Forensic pathologist James Traylor, who worked in the New Orleans morgue in the days after Katrina, feels a new investigation must be launched to look into homicides that were not investigated at the time. At first, the Obama White House asked Mark Dybul, head of the Bush administration's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, to stay on to direct the fight against global AIDS. But soon after Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, Dybul was asked to leave. Clinton, with strong ties to reproductive rights advocates, decided the global AIDS czar, with close ties to the religious right, had to go. In the media, Dybul's defenders, like former Bush speechwriter Michael Gerson, cried foul, complaining Obama had caved into women's groups and called the dismissal a mugging. Other activists like Jody Jacobson, an advisor to the reproductive health website RH Reality Check, says Dybul was too close to the religious right and the Bush administration's abstinence-only agenda on sex education. During the 2008 reauthorization of PEPFAR, women's advocates had a running battle with Dybul over abstinence-only funding. Dybul issued a regulation which banned clinics that worked to prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV from buying birth control for their clients. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Indu Anand.